Good morning. This morning, the title of our message is Let Us Run. And we have been going through the Let Us statements in the book of Hebrews. And there are 14 of them. And today we're going to do 9, 10, and 11. So we're almost done with our Let Us statements. And in the book of Hebrews, we are learning how to function as priests in the kingdom of God. And as priests in the kingdom, we're on a team. And so the scripture is admonishing us together to let us run this morning. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the word that's coming forth today. Lord, we open up our hearts to receive your teaching. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you show us the way. Lord, you make things clear to us, and thank you for everyone listening to this message, Lord. We just thank you that the Holy Spirit is our teacher today, and we pray, Lord, that we will hear, have ears to hear, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, today we are covering Hebrews 12:1. First one is... We're just going to read the verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Number two, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And number three, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, I was thinking if Apostle Paul was alive today, he would probably be following the progress of various teams and athletes. He would probably love March Madness. Because he just seemed to really enjoy sports and athletic events. And so he uses a lot of references in the New Testament regarding them. But, of course, the Greeks and the Romans, they were very interested in athletic events and contests, not only for their physical well-being, but also for the honor of their towns and their countries. Because it was a patriotic thing to be a good athlete and to bring glory to your country or your town. And so this morning, you know, I was watching, following Ty, and his basketball team made it to semi-state, which is such an honor. And so we just rejoice with Ty and his team, you know, that they made it there. Those are athletes. They prepared. They worked hard. And sometimes when you're playing a game, it doesn't always go the way you want it to go, but you still play your best. Is that right? And so when we're running this race, we're in training and we're doing our best. Amen? And so these Jewish believers who received this letter, I believe they must have been getting worried and maybe wanted to give up. Have you ever felt worry and wanted to give up? Anybody? Wave your hand at me this morning, because sometimes you feel that way, if we're honest. Last week, didn't we talk about being honest? All right. And so the writer was encouraging them to keep moving forward in their Christian lives like runners that are running in a race. And so I just wanted to share with you this morning my favorite all-time runner. We have a picture of him. This is Apostle Leonard. He's my favorite all-time runner. And this picture was taken at the Starburst Marathon a few years ago. And this race finished in the Notre Dame Stadium. And it was a huge event that South Bend used to put on. But Leonard was always so well-trained in running. And he ran with the team. He ran with the Athlete's Foot team. And they were just a dynamic team, and they trained together in the natural. And you know, he's always been an athlete in the spirit. And he's always trained for the race that we are running today in the book of Hebrews that we're exhorted about. So stay in the running. Stay in the running. Hebrews 12:1. We're going to read it again. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And you know, when he first started running and he joined a team, he's been in leadership since he was ordained an elder in 82, I think. But he's always been, and he was a young people's leader, and he's just always been in church leadership. And so everyone was always used to seeing him in a suit and with a tie, you know, and a nice dress shirt. And so when he first started running and his mom saw some pictures, she was just a little horrified, because we came from a very conservative background, and she's like, "But you can't dress like that. You're an elder." And he's like, "But Mom, I can't run in a shirt and a tie. You know, that would just be a little ridiculous." So we have to throw off the things that are hindering us and trying to hold us back so that we can run our race with perseverance. And that word perseverance also means patience. Did you know patience meant perseverance? You need perseverance for patience, is that right? Does anybody here ever get a little impatient? I know, it hits us all in odd times. But anyway, running, we're talking about running. I read a little quote from, his name's Herb Cain, and he's a Pulitzer Prize winner. And he wrote this. He said, "Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the fastest lion, or it'll be killed. And every morning, a lion wakes up, and it knows it must outrun the slowest gazelle, or it will starve to death. So it doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle, when the sun comes up, you better be running." And I thought that is so true. When the sun comes up, don't we hit the road running? I mean, you hit the ground running when you get out of bed. You're ready to go. Because this is the race that we're in. It's the race of life. So you can be on God's highway racing, or you can be on the Broadway racing. You choose which race you're going to win. Which direction are you going to be in? Which direction do you want to go? God's highway or the road that's wide? And many, the scripture says, that are on it. And so we have to choose. But I was thinking about how Jesus said, he said, "I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And why do they rejoice? Because it's a great victory that this one sinner has come into the race that we're called to run. All the angels are rejoicing. And as I thought about this, I thought, you know, our girls ran track. And so we were always at track events, and they were pretty good at what they did. But I do remember this. Every time there was a race, there was a starting pistol. You ever been to an athletic event? You hear the starting pistol go off. And I thought, you know what, this is just my opinion, that at the very moment that those angels are rejoicing, there is a starter pistol angel in heaven that fires, because as soon as you come into the kingdom of God, you are in a race. You become a runner. Tell your neighbor, you're a runner. Okay, in the book of Hebrews, that verse we just read, it gives us some strategic plans here. First of all, it says, look around at the winners. That great cloud of witnesses that was introduced in Hebrews chapter 11. Those are the heroes of faith. And it's not suggested that these men and women are now in heaven watching us as we run our race, like spectators in a stadium. Because the word witness does not mean spectator. Our English word martyr comes directly from the Greek word translated witness. And so these people are not witnessing what we're doing. Rather, they are witnesses to us. that God can take us through. God will see us through this race of faith. We are surrounded by these great cloud of witnesses that are mentioned in chapter 11, those heroes of faith that God saw all the way through. You see, God bore witness to them, and they are now bearing witness to us. So he's saying, look around at the winners. God's brought them through. They have finished their race by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We have a great cloud of witnesses that have made it. And you can make it too. You can make it too. The second thing is look at yourself. The second part of Hebrews 12:1 tells us how to run the race with endurance. And it says after you get rid of all that heavy baggage that entangles you, then you're better equipped to run the race. You know, when you're running a long distance, you want to have the best equipment. You want to be prepared for the race. And preparing for races is something we did a lot because we ran with a run club. At that time, it was the Elkhart Y MCA, and we ran with a group of Elkhart runners, and we ran every weekend. And Leonard was involved in a lot of races, and I raced not because I was racing, because I'm competitive, because I'm not a competitive racer. I've never been built to be a competitive racer, but I had friends that were, like, amazing when they would get out there to race. And so you got to know what your talents and gifts are, is that right? But I participated because I liked the people, and I liked the race. I like to see places and things, and we'd run out in the middle of the country, and it was beautiful, and just enjoying God's creation. And so in training, a lot of them would sometimes wear weights. Have you ever seen those ankle weights? Or they'd wear something heavier so that they could build up more endurance while they were running. But they never wore those for a race. You know, you left all those weights behind. And so recognizing that there can be some things that hinder us from running, and it might look like good things to other people. However, it might not be what you should be doing because it's holding you back from running the Christian race. And so remembering this, a winning athlete does not choose between good and bad. He chooses between the better and the best equipment, the better and the best training schedule. So we've got to get rid of the sin that would easily entangle us while we're running this race. And he doesn't say any specifics, but mostly in Hebrews, he talks about the unbelief. Unbelief will keep us from entering into our spiritual inheritance. And so the phrase is the phrase by faith or through faith is used 21 times in Hebrews 11, indicating that it is faith in Christ that enables us to endure. Faith in Christ enables us to endure. And we're all together in this race. You know, Apostle Leonard, when he ran with that team, each one of them worked their individual workouts. Each one of them did their best to improve. And just the same with us. We are running in this race. We have our individual lives and how we serve God during the week and our responsibilities during the week and the demands upon our time during the week. But each one of us are working through that as we go. But together, if we can see ourselves as a team, because we do have an individual responsibility, but we also have a responsibility to one another. We're members of the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ is the head of the body. And so we look to him. Amen? Amen. So the third thing he is telling us in that verse is look at Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So in order to run a successful race, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus endured the cross, and he has already sat down at the right hand of the Father, and that's where he is today. And so Jesus, who is the author and originator and the finisher of our faith, when we look to him, we'll be saved. When we look to him, the scripture actually means, looking to him means to trust. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust him to see you through? You know, that takes faith to trust God to work out your situation when you don't see an answer to it. It takes trusting him to see you through. It takes trusting him so you don't jump ship. You don't jump overboard. But you're going to stay the course. And so here's an example from the Word. God provided healing and deliverance in Numbers 21, 4 through 9. We're going to read through this passage in Numbers. Then they, talking about the children of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go ahead around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Has your soul ever become discouraged? And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Well, that's one thing to make a note of. When you become discouraged, sometimes you start talking against other people. Your boss, your leaders, mad at God. That's a discouraged soul. Recognize it. You know, it's right there in the scripture. When you have a discouraged soul, you might be talking against your husband, talking against your wife. You're discouraged. God can take care of that discouragement. But God takes seriously when you start talking against people in authority. And so the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses, the person they've been talking about, and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. God made a way for them to be delivered from this situation. Isn't he good? And Moses was so merciful and loved the people. He was always on their side. When God wanted to destroy them many times, Moses stood in the gap. We can stand in the gap for people. We can stand in the gap through prayer. You need to know your sphere of authority and who is under your watch, and you can stand in the gap for them. So when the dying Israelites looked at that uplifted serpent, they were healed. And this is an illustration of our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus was lifted up on the cross. John 3:4 to 16 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So looking unto Jesus is an attitude of faith. It's just not a one-time act. When our Lord was here on the earth, He lived by faith. You know, the mystery of his divine and human natures, it's too profound for us to understand totally. But we do know that he had to trust his Father in heaven as he lived day by day. And he is quoted in Hebrews 2:13 saying, "I will put my trust in him." And this comes from a quote in Isaiah 8:17. So just the fact that Jesus prayed is evidence that he lived by faith. Remember, he said, "I don't do anything except what the Father shows me." Do you remember that? He didn't use his natural, his supernatural powers. So our Lord endured far more suffering than any of the heroes of faith named in Hebrews 11. So Jesus is the perfect example for us to follow. He endured the cross. And this involved shame and suffering and contradiction and opposition of sinners and a temporary rejection by the Father when he was hanging on the cross. He suffered for all the sins of the world, yet he endured and finished the work the Father gave him to do. Jesus shed his blood in the battle against sin. So keep in mind, once again, that on earth, Jesus did not use his divine powers for his own personal needs. Satan tempted him with that in Matthew 4 when he told him, "Turn these stones into bread." Jesus had been fasting 40 days. "Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus answered, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just the words that we want to hear, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All scripture is written for our benefit. So, you know, I've talked to people that say, "Well, I just read the New Testament." But the Bible says all scripture is written for our benefit. And if you want to find people that you can pattern your life after, read the Old Testament. Amazing stories in the Old Testament. I hope you're reading through the Bible this year. I just actually finished the reading in Numbers about the serpents biting the people. But Jesus, he was able to endure because he kept the eye of faith on the joy that was set before him. Is that not what the scripture said? For the joy that was set before him. He knew he was going to come out of the tomb alive. And he knew that he would return back into heaven with his Father. And in his Father's presence, there's fullness of joy. Jesus knew that he would be exalted in heaven and glorified. Let's look at Hebrews 12:2. Well, actually, we're not going to go there again. We're going to go to Jude 24-25. We've read looking unto Jesus three times now, I think. But Hebrews 12:2 is also referring to this Jude 24:25. Now to him, would you read it with me? "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." He is able to present us faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jesus completed the Father's will. His resurrection, and he was exalted. But his greatest joy in enduring the cross was so that he could present believers to the Father in glory. That's you and I. Jesus is our example to look ahead by faith, regardless of what we're facing or what we're going through. When we completely trust in Him, our trust in the Lord is what releases His power into our lives. Our trust in the Lord is what releases the power of Jesus Christ into our lives. You know, you could follow an amazing athlete, someone very successful. You could do all the workouts they do, eat the same diet they do, but you could still be a failure. There is no guarantee with that. But you know what? You have a guarantee with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our example, and He is also the one who empowers us to do what He has asked us to do. And He is also the one that is able to present us to the Father faultless. Jesus Christ sits in heaven and pleads your case. You know, if everything that we ever did, we sinned against God, was held against us, none of us would ever, ever make it to heaven. We would never make it. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will be saved. You see, unbelief is what really gets us into trouble and causes our hearts to be discouraged because we don't really totally believe what it's saying. What did he say? If you believe, you will be saved. And he is able to present you faultless. You know, that doesn't mean that we just go do whatever we want to do. But if you do decide to go do whatever you want to do, Jesus Christ is still pleading your case. He's still working with you. He's not giving up on you. And he is the one that has the eternal decision for your life. Thank you, Lord. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And trusting in you releases your power into our lives. And you enable us to run this race. And this race can get pretty hectic, can't it? You know, this isn't on the PowerPoint, but as I was studying this morning, I thought about John 17:11. Jesus said, I will remain in the world no longer. In other words, he was getting ready to go. And he's talking to the Father. He said, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. So Jesus, in his last days, was praying to the Father that he would protect you and I, and that he would give us the power that is in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. There's power in the name of Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your name that's above every name, above every problem, situation, sickness, disease. The name of Jesus will be glorified. And the Heavenly Father, you see, he was crying out on our behalf before he ever got to the seat in the throne room to his Heavenly Father that he would protect us and watch over us. Thank you, Lord. And now he's sitting right next to the Father, still doing that for you and I as we run this race. And we have an amazing Heavenly Father who doesn't leave us and doesn't forsake us as we, even when we struggle in this race. And I wanted to just show a video this morning. It's from 1992. It's the Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. And it shows a great illustration of how the Father comes right alongside of us.
and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong.
Illustration of how our Heavenly Father comes alongside of us. So don't give up. Don't give up. Just in closing, our last scripture is keep your thoughts on Jesus. Hebrews 3:1, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Actively set your focus on Jesus by remembering what he has done for you in the past and thanking him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you, Lord, that you're right beside us in this race that we are running by faith. Lord, I pray for every runner here today and everyone who is listening. Lord, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your help, Lord. I thank you that you show yourself to each one of them, Lord, as they go through this week, Lord, as they fulfill their responsibilities, Lord, in running this race, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your help. Lord, I thank you that we can look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, and Lord God, you will see us through. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are going to ask the elders to get ready to serve communion this morning. And what we plan to do is to serve communion, and then we'll do our closing song together. You know, as we're standing in our areas, we're holding on to our cup and the bread. And so this morning, we are going to take it before we sing our last song. And so if you would get ready to come, and Pastor Cheryl is going to officiate this part of the service this morning. And so Pastor Cheryl is coming. And I'm going to ask you to stand and come on up and get your elements. And then she will instruct us to take them. And you can come here, Pastor Cheryl.
Lord, I take the time to remember you and your great sacrifice for my sins. I remember your broken body and shed blood, not for anything you did wrong, but because you were paying the penalty for my sins. And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given to you in remembrance of me." And you may take of the bread. In the same way, at the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And let's take of the cup. And you may pass your cups down to the end, and the ushers will come by and get them. Lord, we thank you for what your Son did for us that day. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that he gave for us. Thank you.